Coming up is a story from Sound Effect, our weekly storytelling show here on KNKX. Here's Sound Effect host Jennifer Wing.
Today the theme is Under the Influence, and this final story in the show is about books. One of the debates going on in the publishing world right now is who should be telling whose stories. For example, if you're a white author, do you have the authority to write a character who is black, an experience you have not lived? Now, I know that some of you out there might be thinking that this is political correctness that is way over the top, but the debate, it's real, and a new industry is emerging that's offering guidance to writers who are concerned about how their own prejudices might creep into their work. Sound Effect contributor Kyle Norris introduces us to two writers who are grappling with this issue in the world of children's books.
Will Taylor has been working for 6 years at becoming a published children's book author. And in 2018, HarperCollins will publish his first book in a two-part series that he wrote. It's called Maggie and Abby's Never-Ending Pillow Fort. It's meant for kids age 9 to 12. And to make that happen, he sought the advice of a woman he never met. But before we get into that, here's more about Will. He grew up in Seattle, and he loved to read books about kids who set off on magic adventures and encountered difficult problems, but figured them out. Those stories meant something to him.
That there was more beauty and magic and wonder available in the world than what I was seeing immediately in front of me.
Will is 35, and gay, and white. As a kid, he remembers movies and TV shows where gay men were pedophiles, or they were stereotypes of effeminate men, and they were there for a laugh. Those stereotypes were so horrifying to Will that he stayed in the closet until his mid-20s, because he didn't want to be like the characters he saw. Will understands the power of media and made a promise to himself that whatever he creates will not hurt kids and reinforce stereotypes, especially for kids of color.
I want to do absolutely everything in my power to make sure that my own work, the books that I want to be magical and beautiful doors and windows for kids to have at their disposal as they're growing up and doing all the things, dealing with all the hardships that growing up brings. I want my books to be safe spaces.
To figure out if this imaginary world he built did this successfully, he hired someone to review his story. He reached out online to an author named Bethany Morrow in upstate New York. She's African American, and she's part of a newish profession known as sensitivity readers.
A sensitivity read is where I am reading for offensive, harmful, stereotypical representation of an underrepresented or a non-represented group of people.
A sensitivity reader comes from a specific racial minority, religious minority, sexual orientation, or identity. They comb through an author's text from their cultural perspective and then give their feedback.
I'm basically reading to make sure that the author, who obviously by definition does not fall into one of those groups, is doing more than relying on stereotypes.
A sensitivity read is not a guarantee that no one will be offended, nor are they stamps of approval.
You know, I'm not your token black girlfriend, basically. That's not the purpose. Anybody who wants to hear the truth, I am here for you. If you want me to tell you the truth, I am totally down to tell you the truth.
Bethany and Will have never met in person. They've only communicated through email and words on a page. Not everyone thinks this is a good idea. It's been called political correctness gone too far. Bethany's response is this is about protecting young readers of color. And she says, if you were an author, you would have an editor.
If you're going to write a story about a 17th century botanist, you're probably going to do some research. You're probably going to find somebody who's an expert. You're not going to just wing it. And people having a hard time, or not a hard time, refusing to acknowledge that you don't get to be the authority on everyone else's identity.
So why not fact check when it comes to race, sexual identity, or anything else that's not part of your lived experience? Growing up in Sacramento, Bethany loved to read all kinds of genres and write. Her family made sure she was surrounded with black narratives and stories and art and poetry. In school, they were one of a few black families. There was a moment when she realized her experience was unusual. It happened in her 7th grade language arts class. They were watching a film that starred Alfonso Ribeiro. You might know him as Carlton Banks on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Alfonso was the only black person in the movie, And whenever he came on screen, all of Bethany's white classmates laughed at him, even though he wasn't doing anything funny. In that moment, she felt shame. She also realized her classmates weren't reading stories or watching shows about Black people, like the miniseries Roots on TV.
I thought everyone was going home and watching Roots. I thought everybody's parents read to them, you know, from different poets. And because I never felt like an outsider or felt like I was something strange, I just assumed that my upbringing was the norm. So I think at that moment, I also realized they were not used to seeing me on the screen. So I also became aware, and that I think is only made me more passionate, and it went from frustrated to no, you don't get this option. You don't get to pretend that I don't exist while I'm completely, you know, overwhelmed with your presence.
The world of children's literature remains lily white. 73% of characters in kids' books are white. 12% of characters are non-human things like animals or trucks. 8% of characters are African American. That's according to an organization called the Cooperative Children's Book Center. And just to repeat that, there are more animals and trucks in kids' books than there are Black kids. And the overwhelming majority of authors who write books for kids are white. Will Taylor, the author we met earlier, the guy who hired Bethany to read his book for Bias, he knows he's writing from a white dude's perspective. And he wanted to know how that affected the job he did in his upcoming book.
I knew I was very unaware of a lot of the cultural biases I brought with me. So I wanted to ask someone who had the experience of being in the community that I was trying to represent how I did.
Will was ready to hear the truth.
I thought I'd done a really good job. I expected an A+ and a pat on the head. And that's really embarrassing to say now, because that's not at all what I got.
What he got was one page of Bethany's single-spaced, 12-point font, very clear notes. There's one stereotype that Bethany sees all the time. She saw it in Will's text. It's when authors write Black girls and women with attitudes.
I might specifically say, this is the only Black woman in the book. Why does she roll her neck when she talks? Talking with your neck, rolling your neck, it's just a stereotype of, I guess, what people would say of an inner city girl or something. It's just indicative of having an attitude usually. What about that isn't immediately just based on your ingested, you know, stereotype of Black women?
I had written a character with a huge amount of attitude. A lot of the culture that I've consumed as a queer man has been a love for powerful Black women. And I tried to bring that, what I thought was an accurate representation of that, into this girl character. And the feedback was that it was not okay because it came across as attitude.
Bethany says Will's African-American character, Maisha, was not fully formed. Maisha was an obstacle for the protagonist, Maggie, who is white, to overcome.
This is a scene where Maggie, the main character, is having a bit of a debate with Maisha, who is a leader of a group of kids who she's interacting with. "I bet you we could handle 100 pillow forts," Maggie said. "It sounds like fun." Maisha threw up her hands. "And see, that right there is why you are not ready to join us." She turned away and spoke under her breath. "Can't believe I'm even having this conversation with a beginner. Girl has no idea who she's dealing with." My original intention with that scene had been to show that Maisha was a strong leader with a ton of experience who wasn't going to suffer fools. If you're a young Black girl reading this book, and this is the only person like you in the book, and all she does is talk back to the main character and then eventually be proved wrong, what are you doing? I hadn't noticed that pattern.
Because of what Bethany saw in his story that he didn't see, Will made Maisha more of a whole person. He says it ended up making the book much better. These sensitivity reads, Bethany says, they are really just a Band-Aid on the gaping wound of a bigger problem, of not having enough minority authors telling their stories. She wants the literary world to make space for these voices.
What I want to see happen is for people to take responsibility for their privilege, and that if you actually want to be part of the solution, you are going to have to forfeit your privilege. There's no way around it. You can't keep it and also make an equitable situation for everyone else.
Will agrees with Bethany. He's asking himself how he can be a part of that change. When he looks back on working with a sensitivity reader, here is his big takeaway.
Good intentions do not go very far when it comes to writing outside your lane. It's so easy to do harm when you come from a place of privilege and you're not a member of a marginalized community and try and write about them.
From here on out, Will is going to use a sensitivity reader for everything he writes. He's much more aware now of making characters their own, quote, complete awesome person, acting on their own agency. But Will's also asking himself, if writing outside your own lane is appropriate, is it even possible without bias creeping in, no matter how well-intended you are?
That was Sound Effect contributor Kyle Norris. To hear Bethany Morrow reading an excerpt from her essay, Why We Need Black Characters by Real Black Authors, go to our website, knkx.org.